The words of that third verse of Psalm 1, we sang the psalm and then read it together. Just think of the words, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Can I emphasize the words at the commencement of the verse? They're especially appropriate. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I'd like you to take note of the verse. I'd like you to mark it in your Bible. I'd like to encourage you to learn it as well, to memorize it by heart. We've been thinking of the message of the tree just in the light of the dedicating, the official planting of the special anniversary tree last Sabbath morning. In the message last Sunday, we really only got through the introduction. We gave some examples in the scriptures of special dedication, not just of people, but dedication of items, of things to God, to his work, and to the furtherance of his kingdom. And remember that the Lord does use visual aids. That's something that's important for us to emphasize to you, particularly to those that are involved in the Lord's work, especially children's work. There are many examples in the Bible of the Lord using visual aids. We mentioned Joshua and the stones at Jordan. We emphasize to you the rainbow, the bow in the sky, even the leaf as it falls from the tree. And we want the tree on the bank as you come up the drive. We want it to be a visual aid to this congregation in days to come. We want it to be a reminder to you of the church, of its work, of its witness, the things that we should be striving after, the things that we should be praying to achieve, the things that we should want God to do through this church, in this city, and in this community. So we're thinking of the message of the tree, what it teaches to us. And the psalm emphasizes, this first psalm in the third verse, it emphasizes that the Christian, and we can broaden it out a little to include the church, but the Christian and the church is like a tree. The psalm is very clear in its wording. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And there are many ways that the Christian or the church is like a tree. And I'm going to mention some of them to you this morning. I pray God will write them upon your heart. I pray that you'll never forget the likenesses, the comparisons that we're going to draw for you this morning. As you think of the Christian or the church being like a tree, what we should think about in the first place is the tree getting stronger. The text says the tree's planted, and that gives the idea of something that is stable, something that is strong, something that is well rooted. And the reality, brethren and sisters, is the tree needs to be strong. The tree needs to have deep roots, particularly in the autumn and the winter time, to be enabled to withstand all the storms that will come against it. So the tree gets stronger. And I want to emphasize to you today that the church of Christ needs to be strong as well. And if that was true in former generations, it's especially true, men and women in the day and generation in which we live. You think of the decline there is spiritually, the attacks that have been made upon the things of God, the attacks that has been made upon morality in the land in which we live, the great attacks that are now been made even upon God's day itself. And we can expect that those things will only increase as time goes by and as the coming of the Lord draws near. there's going to be a great storm of opposition to the witness of truth and to the witness of the gospel. The church needs to be strong. Do you remember what the Lord said to Joshua? Be strong and of a good courage. It's interesting, I'll highlight it for you. If you take the time to read through the closing chapters of the book of Deuteronomy and into the book of Joshua, you'll find the Lord gave Joshua that same message 7 times. Isn't that interesting? I'm sure you've had the experience sometimes where you've gone along to a meeting and you've heard a preacher deliver a message and you heard him preach that message somewhere before. You might be a little upset, maybe even a little disgusted at that idea. But remember that Paul said that to bring the same things, to say, to teach the same things, was not grievous, but it was safe. Sometimes you see things need to be re-emphasized. And remember, if you do hear a message for the second time, God has a purpose in that. Maybe you didn't pay attention enough the first time, and the Lord in his providence brought about the circumstances whereby you could hear it a second and maybe even a third time. I remember coming down here, I may even have sang at the meeting. Mr. Paisley was preaching, as he did on that first Sunday afternoon of every year, the anniversary Sunday. And the message he had preached in the martyrs in the morning, he preached here in the afternoon. And he shook my hand going out, and with a big smile, he said, "You heard that message before, young man." And I heard it again that week, because he preached it to the students in the Whitfield College of the Bible 3 times in 1 week. I heard the same message. Well, Joshua heard the same message 7 times. And the Lord had a reason for that, men and women. As Joshua was taking on the leadership of the children of Israel and all that that would involve, the vast weight of responsibility that would be included in it, the Lord knew he needed to be strong and he needed to be of a good courage. And maybe that's the word that God would want to emphasize to your heart today. Whatever your circumstances, whatever you and your family are passing through, whatever difficulties that you're encountering, here's what you need to do, brother or sister. Be strong. Be strong and of a good courage. Think of what Paul said writing to the Ephesians, again talking about the onslaughts of the devil and all the fiery darts of the wicked one. He said, be strong in the Lord. So I want you to see, men and women, there are many exhortations, I thought, last evening as well, about those words of Paul to Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You know, as we develop in the Christian life, the grace of God should get stronger in our lives as well, more gracious, more of the grace of God about us. The Christian in the church is to be strong, and that's especially important in the society in which we live. You ask me today, how do we become strong? How do we gain that strength? Well, let me emphasize for you through prayer. There are many things that could be stressed, but I want to emphasize prayer to you today. Remember the words of Isaiah, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I wonder, is there a brother or a sister here today and you're tired? And maybe you're a little weary and you're a little worn down. You don't have the same energy and strength that maybe once you had. Do you know what's needed? A good spiritual tonic. And you get that, brethren and sisters, at the Saviour's feet. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Maybe you've been too much like Martha, cumbered with the serving, running here and there, and not enough like Mary, getting down there just to wait and to sit at the Saviour's feet. They that wait upon the Lord. The church is strong through prayer, brethren and sisters. No church is stronger than its prayer meeting. Can I stress that to you afresh this morning? The prayer meeting, brethren and sisters, is a vital meeting. Don't ever view it, don't ever think of it in any other way or in any other terms. In fact, it would have to be said the prayer meeting is the most vital meeting in the calendar of the church. I wonder, is that how you view it? Is that how you treat it? Does your support, your presence, your attendance of the prayer meeting emphasize that it is the most vital meeting of the week? The church, brethren and sisters, gets strong through prayer. A strong prayer meeting will mean a strong church. A strong prayer meeting will mean a strong witness that is being made. A strong prayer meeting will mean, brethren and sisters, that that church will be able to withstand all the fiery darts of the wicked one. I want to remind you this morning that it is primarily a house of prayer. As we think of the church, as we think of the work that's being done, we think of the different departments and aspects of the church, always remember, primarily, this place is a house of prayer. Priority should be given to seeking the face of the Lord. And I pray the Lord might write that on your hearts today. I want to urge you afresh to give your support to the prayer meetings, to all of the prayer meetings of this church, particularly the weekly prayer meeting on the Thursday night. But don't forget the Sabbath day prayer meetings before the services. Don't forget those special revival prayer meetings Saturday night week. God willing, will be the next one of those. Give your support to the prayer meetings of the church. The Savior said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. And I want to encourage you, don't faint, brethren and sisters, in the place of prayer. Maybe if you're honest today, you'd have to say that you have. You don't pray privately the way you used to. Maybe you don't pray privately at all. If that is so, may the Lord speak and encourage you in that regard. Maybe you fainted as far as your attendance of the prayer meetings of the church is concerned. Remember what Paul said to the Thessalonians, you did run well in the past tense, and maybe you did attend well. It's in the past tense. It's a past experience now. You fainted in your attendance and even your participation of the prayer meetings of the church. Don't faint, brethren and sisters. The church needs a strong prayer meeting. If it's going to be a strong church, if it's going to make a clear and a strong witness and influence for God in its community. So the tree, as time goes past, the tree is going to get stronger, but the tree will also get bigger. The tree that's out there on the bank at present is just a little sapling. It'll be interesting to watch it grow, to watch it increase in size. I did encourage you, and I'll take the time to do it again today, encourage you to get a picture of that tree. Get a picture of it now, while it's small. If you didn't get the chance to do it last Sunday, do it as soon as you can. It'd be good to have those pictures, to be able to say that's the tree when it was planted, and that's me standing beside it. And then you can compare the tree and compare yourself as well in the years to come. The tree will get bigger. And I pray, and I want to encourage you as a congregation to pray with me. I pray that this church will grow too. That this church will get bigger in the days and years that are to come. Do you remember the words of Job? Though thy beginning was small, yet thy latter end shall greatly increase. And the beginning of every work is small, and the beginning of this church was no different. And God has blessed this church. It has grown from very small beginnings. But our desire, brethren and sisters, as we celebrate the anniversaries this year, our desire is that this church would grow even more in days to come. We want the church to grow numerically. You think of the seats around you. Isn't it sad that we gather in a building that isn't filled to capacity? That's something you need to take upon your heart. It's something that we need to be interested in. It's not something that we should just sit back and be indifferent about and accept. The Lord wants us to do something about the empty seats that are around us. We're to go after souls. That's what the Lord wants us to do. Go after souls. and go after the worst of them. Go out and bring others in and make it a matter of prayer. Pray the Lord will fill up the seats that are around us. Do you remember those words recorded in the book of Ezekiel? Pray the Lord will increase us with men like a flock. He's the one that gives the increase. That's what Paul taught us in the book of Corinthians. Paul said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but the Lord gave the increase. And you think as well of what the Savior said, he built his church. And we want to see that building, men and women taking place. So pray the Lord will cause the church to grow numerically. You think of what happened in the New Testament. The number of the disciples was multiplied. Well, if we had that apostolic Pentecostal experience, this church would be filled this day next week. If it was only multiplied by two, the smallest multiple you can have, you think of the difference it would make. Do you see how far removed we are from the blessing and the experience of the New Testament church? I want to pray too the church will grow financially. We have emphasized that particularly in recent days, the giving to the building fund. And we acknowledge the generosity, the great generosity of this church in every offering that is taken. Just let me highlight, brethren and sisters, that all giving should be done through the church. All your tithes should be given to the local congregation. That is something that is scriptural, something that's taught in the Word of God. You remember that it says, on the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him. Why does it say on the first day of the week? Because on the first day of the week, you're in God's house, you're at the meetings, and the idea is you bring your gifts, your tithes, with you, and you give them to the church, to the local congregation. The reason I emphasize to you today that we want to see the church grow financially is because remember that the more finance the church has, the more it's able to do. The more missionary causes it's able to help, the more missionary causes it's able to support, and even the more we're able to do on the home front as well. So make that a matter for prayer as well, brethren and sisters. But most of all, primarily, what we want to see is the church to grow spiritually. I want you to think about your own spiritual growth. Ponder that. The old Christians used to keep what they call a journal. And in that journal, they would trace their own spiritual pilgrimage to see whether they were going on or going back in their walk with God. It should always be our chief desire, whoever you are, it should be your chief desire as a Christian to be growing, to be getting stronger for the growth. We're to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But what is true of the Christian individually should be true of the church collectively as well. We want this church to grow spiritually, to be a strong church as far as the things of God are concerned. We want the church to be built up in its most holy faith. Do you remember what Paul had to say? If you read through the first book of Corinthians, he was writing to a church in trouble. So many problems in the Corinthian church. But so often he had to say, do ye not know? I would not have you to be ignorant. But they were ignorant. And there were many things they didn't fully understand. So that was true in New Testament times. Churches need to be taught and built up and edified and instructed. And we want this church to grow spiritually as well, brethren and sister. You pray that the influence of this church will grow. Its influence both at home and abroad. As we think of the home witness, the home front, we look out on a city of great need. Paul, speaking about the city of Corinth, said, the Lord has much people in this city. And that's true of Armagh as well, brethren and sisters. Take that text upon your heart today. May the Lord renew your spiritual vision for the city where you live. where God in his providence has placed you in this city or round about it. May God give you a fresh vision for it, and may you see today the Lord has much people in this city. There are many people the Lord wants us to go out and to be a witness to. There are many people the Lord wants us to go out and to seek with his help to win to him. May the Lord put that upon your heart today. You think of the Sunday school, as we think of the home front, the wee bus that's going out. We have a desire, men and women, to see that bus filled with boys and girls. We'd like to see a bigger bus on. We'd like to see more than one bus having to be sent out to bring the boys and girls in. Can I ask you to help with that? Can I ask you to pray about that? Can I ask you to make the bus known? Will you think during this week, maybe of some family that you could approach, you'd like to see their children in Sunday school and the Bible classes, go and have a wee word with them. Tell them about the bus going out and encourage them to have their children on that bus. Think of the holiday Bible clubs. We're coming to that season of the year. Pray the Lord will give us more children. Pray the Lord will give us more of the foreign children of this city. You know, those of you who have been out on the outreach, you know how many people, foreign nationals, live in Armagh. We get a few of them into the meetings. It's not a missionary work in itself, reaching those children, reaching those families that the Lord in his providence has brought to our city and has placed upon our doorstep. We're planning in the will of God this year to go into some of the Catholic estates as well. I know that's a matter that has been on the heart of many of you. You'd like to reach out into those Roman Catholic homes, Roman Catholic estates. We talked a little about that at our last session meeting, and we're going to go forward with that matter in this coming summer. We need your prayers for that venture, that the Lord will guide us, that he'll go with us. But wouldn't it be a great thing, men and women, to see many of those Roman Catholic children coming in to the church here? Wouldn't it be a great thing in days to come to see many of these pews filled with converted Roman Catholic families? People coming from what were Roman Catholic homes, but the Lord did a mighty work of grace in their lives. You think of abroad, the influence of the church abroad. We want to see that grow. God has blessed this church. Sometimes, you know, we don't really appreciate what God has done for us. Of all the free Presbyterian churches in Ulster, there's no church that has a greater missionary influence abroad than the congregation in Armagh. Four missionaries, all serving now in the foreign field. Two in Australia, at the very end of the earth. Our sister Gillian in Kenya, and Joy in Spain. What a blessing that is. God has given this congregation a great influence for the gospel and the Lord overseas. But pray the Lord would give us even more than that. I think it would be a great thing if this church had a missionary on every continent of the earth. We have a missionary on three continents, Europe, Africa, and Australasia. Think of that. Just take it in. This congregation in Armagh has missionaries on three continents of the earth. Pray the Lord would give us a missionary on every continent. We want the influence as we enter into the second 50 years of the witness of this church. We want it to grow at home and abroad. Just to mention to you that there's been some correspondence received from a man in Buenos Aires in Argentina. He has written requesting that his congregation that came out of St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in the city there, because of the ecumenical trend, they want to become a mission church of our denomination. The Reverend Harris asked me to correspond with this brother by email by way of preparation. The matter hasn't come to the board as yet. We've sent out to him copies of that little booklet separated onto the gospel for them to read over to see if they can identify with our principles and our stand and so on. But just to give you an idea of another request from overseas, maybe that in the will of God, we can have a part to play in an influence, another influence on the mission field down there in South America. The Savior said, I emphasize the words to you again, I will build my church. Think of the certainty of it, men and women, the absolute certainty. They're the words of Christ. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. We see the onslaughts of hell all around us. But you take comfort and courage today that he has said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And we ought to stand upon that promise and pray the Lord would do that for us here in Armagh. You think of it again, the tree getting stronger, bigger. The other one that I'll mention is heavier. And I'm thinking especially of heavier with fruit. Sometimes in the autumn when you go into the orchard, you see the branches and they're bent down close to the ground because of the weight of the fruit. The tree getting heavier. If you think of our little tree, as it is on the bank, it's a cherry tree, Prunus Kansan, I think is the official name if I have pronounced that correctly. It's just a flowering cherry tree. There will be no fruit upon it. It'll flower every spring. And as it flowers every springtime, it'll be a reminder of the special events that took place last Sabbath morning. The opening of Anniversary Avenue, that special road link, and the dedication of the special anniversary tree. When you see it flower every springtime, remember those special occasions. But you know, brethren and sisters, there are many Christians like that little tree. There's no fruit. No fruit in their lives. And how sad that is. Can I ask you, are you one such Christian? Think of Noel Grant, an Armagh man himself, the great evangelist that he was. Think of the hymn that he wrote, Above Thine Own Ambitions Here. You know, we've all had ambitions. I had ambitions for my life. Things that I thought I would want to do. Things that I thought I would want to spend my life engaged in. Maybe not some great and noble ambitions like some of you might have, but ambitions nonetheless. And I want you to think about your ambitions today, whatever they may be. And maybe the wee words of that hymn were God's message to your heart today. Above thine own, your own ambitions here. Another voice is sounding clear. It is the call of God to thee to leave thine all. Leave all those plans and all the ambitions, the great ambitions that you have for your life upon this earth, and place those things upon the altar. Another voice is sounding clear. It is the call of God to thee to leave thine all and to follow me. There's a verse in that hymn that says, so soon eternal morn shall dawn. Has not been stressed in this meeting today. Two young lives that have ended in this past week. So soon eternal morn shall dawn. How fast the night is hastening on. So soon his lovely face to see. And how sad, men and women, to empty-handed be. To stand before the Lord and to account for a life that bore no fruit. A life that made no influence. A life that gave no witness for the Master. Can I remind you, the Lord is looking for fruitfulness. I want to impress that upon your heart. As the Lord looks down upon you day by day, that's what he wants, longs for. He's looking for fruitfulness in your life. The psalm says that it bringeth forth his fruit in a season. Can I ask you, are you doing that? Are you bringing forth fruit regularly, continually, as you live? Remember, that's why the Lord has blessed you, why he's given you life, given you health, all the talents, even the finance, the resources that are at your disposal. The Lord gives you all of those things for one reason, men and women, one reason only, that you can bring forth fruit to his praise and to his glory. You think of John 15, take time to look through it. There's a progression in that 15th chapter of John with regard to fruit bearing. It talks about fruit, and then it goes a little further and says more fruit, and then it, a little further down the chapter, talks about much fruit, and then the final statement is fruit that will remain. Is that true of your life? Is there more fruit and much fruit? Fruit that will remain? Fruit that will bear the test of time? I ask you to take it upon your heart to pray that this church, men and women, will be more fruitful in the remainder of this year and years to come, more fruitful than it has ever been before. Think of what Peter said in one of his epistles, that we're not to be barren or unfruitful. We don't want to be like that. We don't want you to be like that. We don't want this church to be like that, to live a life that's barren, a life that bore no fruit. Maybe that has been true of you up to this very present time. Think of what it says of Joseph, what a man Joseph was. Joseph, the son of Jacob. It says he was a fruitful bough whose branches ran over the wall. Isn't that a lovely description of the life that he lived? A fruitful bough and his branches. You think of an orchard and the wall around it and the branches coming out over the wall. You know what the idea there is, men and women? Abundant fruit. That's the sort of life that Joseph lived. A life that bore abundant fruit for God and to his praise. Will you be like him? Will you follow in his footsteps? The Savior talked about a fig tree. Why cumbereth it the ground? I knew there are many Christians and many churches like that fig tree. That's all they do from week to week and month to month. They just cumber the ground. They're a burden. They're not a blessing to anybody. And they're certainly not a blessing to the church. This psalm says, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's the sort of Christian you should want to be. That's the sort of life you should want to live. Everything that you put your hand to, because you're in the will of God and you're living for him and you're sold out to God, that whatever you put your hand to, it'll prosper. Prosper in his service and prosper to his praise. And that's the sort of church that we want to be as well, men and women. Whatever we do, planned, decided upon for days to come, it'll prosper. The blessing of God will attend to it and much fruit will follow after it. I'll say this to you as a close. You think of the beauty of the tree. The text says, his leaf also shall not wither. Unfading beauty. Isn't that what the world longs after? Unfading beauty. People like gardens and they like visiting gardens because they want to go and see the beauty of the flowers, the beauty of their colors, the beauty of their arrangement. They want to go and see the beauty of the trees. Well, that little tree outside is especially beautiful because it will bear little blossoms that will be pink in color. What a beautiful sight that will be for us as we come up the drive into the car park of the church. The little tree will be beautiful in its appearance and it will be beautiful in its fragrance as well. And let me stress, men and women, so should it be with a Christian. There should be a beauty about your life. So should it be with the congregation, the church of Christ. There ought to be that beauty, especially as others see the beauty of Christ in our lives, in our walk, in our conduct, the way we live. See the beauty of Christ when they come into these meetings. The psalmist said, let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Wouldn't that be a good prayer for us to pray collectively? When people come into these meetings and come into this church, that what they will see is the beauty. Not the beauty of our clothing, the beauty of our appearance, and all those things have their place. But most of all, that they would see the beauty of Christ, the beauty of the Lord, our God upon us. John the Baptist, those words that were the guiding principle of his life, he must increase and I must decrease. I want to emphasize that to you. That should be the guiding principle of all our lives. The more you live, there should be more of Christ and less of yourself that is seen in your life. The prophet Hosea, writing about the nation of Israel, said, "His beauty shall be as the olive tree." See the beauty connected with the tree, talking about Israel, his beauty shall be as the olive tree. And so too the church, men and women. So it ought to be. There ought to be that beauty about us. The beauty of the life of this church. The beauty of the fellowship. The beauty of the witness. And can I emphasize especially the beauty of the unity of the Church of Christ? Think of the words of the psalmist. How lovely and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Why is it that many churches are so ugly? It's because of the fighting and the division that there is amongst them. May the Lord deliver us from such a condition, brethren and sister. May there be that lovely and that pleasant appearance, that lovely and pleasant atmosphere, that lovely and pleasant fragrance in this church where brethren dwell together in unity. The message of the tree. As you see that little anniversary tree of God spares you for many years, as you come up and down that drive, spring, summer, autumn, and winter, you think of the tree getting stronger and bigger and heavier. And pray that that will be our experience, brethren and sisters, in this church. These are the lessons. These are the truths. These are the message the Lord would want to bring to our hearts today from the tree. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. May the Lord write this truth on our hearts this day.